Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I was saying last Sunday we talked about events that we have to look forward to in the natural as far as 2009, and some of them really weren't too pleasant. I mean, the economy, let's face it, folks, is not that great when people are out having to look for a job and there's no jobs in the paper. And then we look at the situation where we have events that people's health is not too great. There's a lot of sickness going on, a lot of disease going on, other things that are taking place. And then we have a situation where just it seems like that nobody knows what's going to happen financially. I mean, people who were millionaires suddenly find themselves paupers. That's some of the things that in the natural, it seems like we've gone into 2009 and that's what we have. And nobody seems to know when these things are going to change. But we also examined last week in the book of Luke chapter 21 where Jesus told his disciples some of the things that we would have to see at the end of the age. And I know in the King James Version it says the end of the world, but the true correct word there should be the end of the age, because the world is not going to the end, but the age will come to an end. And we are now living at the end of the age. So Jesus had said some of these things are going to have to take place as we reach the end of the age. This week, I started thinking about a song that I haven't heard in years. It was a song titled, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. It was written by Ira Stamphill over 50 years ago. I just want to read some of the words to that song to you. It says, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its sky may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. It goes on, every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver line. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Then the third verse goes on to say, I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrows is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood. But his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. While it seems in many ways that our future is uncertain, the words to this song that was penned by Ira Stamphill, as I said, over 50 years ago, I thought brought some words of comfort there. He's touching right there in the words of that song on some of the things that we are dealing with in our very lives today. It's tough when you get up and you find out that you only have maybe a dollar or two in your pocket, and what you need for your family that week is going to take a whole lot more than that dollar or two. Let's face it, you go to the grocery store anymore and you go to buy groceries and you come out with half a cart of groceries and you've spent $100 or $200 sometimes, it seems like. Other things that go on in the world, that the situations that are taking place, it just seems like there's no end to some of the stuff. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think we're being fought on this message today. But we're gonna go ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It seems like that no matter where we turn, we're facing obstacles. We as Christians are facing obstacles. It seems like that when we want to give a profession of our faith, that everybody wants to come against us because we're Christians. Now, if you got up and said you were something else, they'd sit there and listen to you and applaud that you were able to do it. But yet we're supposedly living in a Christian nation where Christians can't be free to worship that much anymore. Some of these things are going on. It's an uncertain future. But you know, one of the things I'm glad, as I said, that song as I read it the other day, it brought me some comfort. And I'm glad that God can give us comfort sometimes through songs such as this. Did you ever, you were discouraged and you were down and depressed even, and you heard a song, and its words begin to touch your heart, begin to lift you up, and begin to bring peace into your heart, begin to bring comfort into your heart as those words ministered to you. The Bible tells us, back in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 23, and it says, "And when it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." What's that telling us? It's telling us that when David began to play the music, God used the music to soothe the savage beast, so to speak, that was residing within Saul, and it brought comfort to his heart. You know, there are people who get saved sometimes in church. They go to church, and they may not hear a word that the preacher has to say. But some word that was sung during that service touched their heart, and they began to become convicted of the sin that was in their life. And when the altar call was given, they found their way to an altar, and they knelt down there and gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because the words to that song touched their heart. God speaks to us. God speaks to His people today. There are a lot of people that think, well, God's up in heaven somewhere, if there is a God. And that's their thinking. If there is a God, He's in heaven somewhere, far away and removed from us. And He doesn't care what happens to us. Yes, there's a God in heaven. And yes, in a sense, it's far away, but yet it's also as close as our very heart, because God's Spirit resides within us. His peace resides within us. Everything that God has resides within us, and we can feel His comfort. We can feel His power. We can feel His Spirit within our soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when times are tough, He's there to comfort us. Just as He was there to comfort Saul when Saul was going through these fits of depression, when Saul was going through these fits of anger and was wanting to do all these things, God's Spirit comforted him through the words or through the music that was played on the harp. God can bring peace to our troubled soul. He can bring peace to us when we're in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of toil and all of these things that we have to go through. He can bring peace to our spirit, bring peace to our soul. Why? Because He loves us. One of the lines says, "I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrows is the one who stands by me." Matthew chapter 10. Verses 29 through 31 say, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very heads of your hair are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." What's He telling us there? He's telling us He knows about the sparrows. You know, some people consider the sparrows kind of an insignificant, pesky little bird. But it says our Father cares about those sparrows. He sees that they're fed. He knows when one falls to the ground and they don't fall, it tells us, without His permission. It says even the hairs of our head are numbered, and I know some of us here are keeping Him busy. He's not having to add, He's having to subtract. But He knows even the hairs of our head. That's a God that cares about us if He knows how many hairs we have on our head. I don't know. And besides, if I counted them, by the time I finished, it would be a wrong figure anyway. But He knows. He cares about us. Matthew 10:29 in the Jewish Bible reads, "Aren't sparrows sold for next to nothing? For an Assyrian. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's consent." They were considered almost worthless, but yet it says our Father cared about them. And not one of them would fall without His consent. And it says, are we not more valuable than these sparrows? Yes, we are. We're more valuable than these sparrows in God's sight. God cares about us. And I don't care who you are, what you've done, or where you've been. God cares about you. And that's what a lot of people in the world don't understand today, is the fact that we serve a living God, a heavenly Father who cares about us. In a family relationship, normal family relationship, I should say, if there is such a thing anymore. Normal family relationship, you have a mother, a father, children, and they care about each other. The father loves the children. The mother loves the children. And the children love the parents. And that's just something that comes natural. You know? Before you had that child as a parent, you never knew that being. That being was known by no one except God. And yet, even as that child began to grow in the womb, that love began to grow as well for that child. And you were eagerly awaiting its arrival, so that then you could demonstrate your love for that child. And that's how we as humans do it. We watched a program the other day about elephants on History Channel or some channel. And elephants just amaze me, you know, because they're such huge creatures, and yet they, in so many ways, are so tender and so caring. And we watched how they treated their young and how they went through some of the things that they went through. And that love that was in their heart that was being demonstrated there for their young. And we think, well, they're just a bunch of dumb animals. But God even put that love in their heart one for another. Our Heavenly Father loves us more than we can possibly love Him. We can only attempt to love Him because we can't come close to the love that He has for us. Because the human nature doesn't have that love within it. But God's love is greater than any love that we have in our heart. Because He cares about us. He values us. There are some people that look around today and they think, I'm of no value. Some kids grow up in today's society thinking they're of no value. Because in today's world, that natural affection that's supposed to be in the home doesn't always exist. And kids are told you're of no value. You're worthless. Some kids are told, I wish you'd never been born. That happens. That's not the way that God had it planned to be. And that's not the way a normal family should be. But it happens. And kids are told that. And they grow up believing that they're worthless. That they have no value. But I want you to know today, you are of value. You are of value to God, your Heavenly Father. So much value that the Bible tells us He sent Jesus, His only unique Son, to give His life on the cross that we could be saved and that we could have a relationship with God forever. Some of us may never have much of a relationship with family members here on earth. But we've got a heavenly family that awaits us that we're going to have a relationship with that's going to last for eternity. And it's never, never, never going to end. Because of circumstances, I've never had much of a relationship with the family on either side of my family as far as my mother's relatives or my father's relatives. I wouldn't know them if they walked into the building today, probably. Not had much of a relationship there. But you know what? I've got a relationship with my family of God, my family here in the church, my family that in churches that we've been in before, and my heavenly family that's already in heaven. I've got a relationship with them because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God cares. And maybe you're like that. You don't have a relationship with your earthly family, but you've got a family that God has given you here in the church, and you've got a heavenly family that awaits you on the other side that God is going to give you that relationship with forever and forever and forever and forever. Because God values you. He loves you. Another verse or another line says, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood. Through the flame or flood. We've seen people just in the last year have to go through both of these circumstances. Through the flame with the forest fires and fires that have taken place in places such as California, where hundreds and hundreds of homes were lost. People's lives disrupted. Changed forever because of that event that took place. Or through the floods like those that were brought about by the hurricanes that occurred. Houses washed away. Entire cities destroyed. There was one city in Texas. I can't remember its name right now, but if I recall correctly, the statistic was 95% of the city was washed away in the floods that came because of the hurricane. So whether it be through the flame or through the flood, and that's in the physical there. And sometimes we go through the flame, and we go through the flood spiritually as well. These things come upon us, and it seems like it would consume us. Or it feels like we're about to drown under the pressure of all of it. But He's walking beside us. The path that we have to go through sometimes may not be the most pleasant one there is to be. But He's there with us. He's there with us. The Bible tells us in the book of Job. Job is a fairly lengthy book. It's also by many scholars considered to be probably the oldest work that we have access to that was written possibly hundreds of years before Moses sat down and wrote the first five books of the Bible, which we call the Pentateuch. That the book of Job was already in existence. And the book of Job is the story of one man. A man that the Bible tells us loved God with all his heart. A man that loved God so much that Yahweh God himself said to Satan, "Have you observed my servant Job? He's an upright man." Let's read what the Word has to say. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? He loves me," Satan. "He loves me." This is God speaking here. "He loves me, Satan, and he hates you." Because it says that word "escheweth," if you put it into modern English, means hates. He loves God and he hates Satan. Nowhere else do I find that God calls somebody perfect. At least a normal human being. He said, "He's perfect. And yet look what he went through. He lost everything he had." You know, I don't want to sound too bad or something here, but if you're poor and you're living in poverty and you lose everything,
you really haven't lost a lot because you didn't have a lot to lose. But if you're a multimillionaire, and some have learned this recently, and you've lost everything, how are you going to handle it? Some of them aren't going to know how to handle it. I mean, I say the word and somebody does my bidding and things get done. I don't have to worry. I don't have to eat at McDonald's on the dollar menu. I can go to the finest of restaurants. And all of a sudden they find out they can't afford McDonald's anymore. This is kind of where Job was at. He could afford the best of the best. And I don't know if they had restaurants back then. But if they did, he could go to the best. And suddenly he's without everything. His family's wiped out. His cattle has been stolen. The enemy's come against him. He's sick in body. The Bible says he had boils. I understand that's very painful. His wife even comes and says, Job, just curse God and die. Get it over with. She sure wasn't being a very good helpmate right there, was she? Curse God and die. But the Bible goes on to tell us that in all of this, Job sinned not. Then his friends came. Job, what did you do wrong that God brought this upon you? He didn't do nothing wrong. Fact was, Job did everything right. God allowed it to happen. Prove a point. I had somebody say to me after I had a minor traffic accident, what did you do wrong that God allowed this to happen to you? I thought it was kind of a stupid question to ask myself, you know. I didn't look when I should have looked. But here Job's going through all of this. But yet he knows God's still walking beside him. All of these problems that he's facing. It says in verse 22 of chapter 1, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Then in chapter 2, verse 10, after his wife had told him to curse God and die, it says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. He did not sin. God walked beside him. What does it tell us in the very last chapter, in the very last verses of the book of Job? It tells us that God blessed him abundantly and gave him more than he had before. Another line in this song says, I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. Jesus said things like, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you. Jesus told us he loved us. Yeah, I get concerned about tomorrow. That's the normal thing to do. It's a human thing that happens. We get concerned about it. But we don't have to be worried to the point that we shrivel up somewhere and hide our heads under the cover or stick our head in the sand like an ostrich does. We don't have to worry about it. God is going to take care of his children. I believe that. God is going to take care of his children. He said in the book of Psalms, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. God's going to take care of his children. We don't have to worry about the future. God will take care of it. I'm concerned about things that could happen to our country, but I'm not going to be worried about them. Because I know, no matter what, God is still in control. And God's still in charge. And I've seen some things and people have made statements of what they feel that God told them and whether or not it was or not.
I don't, you know, you've got different conflicting statements coming out sometimes, so you've got to be careful what you watch or what you listen to. But I do know one thing, that no matter what happens, God's still in charge. And I know what the Word of God has to say about what will take place in the last days. And I know that these some things have to happen. And if these things begin to happen, then I can take hope. I can take heart, because I know my time is at hand. That the trumpet's about to sound. And I'm not going to worry about packing my bags, because I'm not going to need any of them to go with me. When I go up, those bags are still going to be sitting on the ground. I can leave all that luggage and baggage behind. I don't need it anymore. And I know we jokingly talk about, better get your bags packed and be ready to go. Well, you don't have to pack no bags. You just got to be ready to go. Because you ain't taking those bags with you anyway. So we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because God's in control. He's in charge of the situation. Another line says, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. John chapter 17, again the words of Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, agonizing, the Word tells us, sweating as it were great drops of blood. And He's calling out to His Heavenly Father and says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus was saying here, He's praying, it's just going to be hours until He's going to be crucified on the cross. That He is going to freely give His life on the cross of Calvary. That His blood is being shed. That He will spend that time in the grave. And then on the third day He will resurrect. And then after another period of time, He will ascend into the heavens, and there He will sit at the right hand of His Father forever and ever. But He's saying, Father, while I've been here, I've kept these that You've given me. But I'm not going to be here now. Father, You've got to keep them. Jesus went on to tell His disciples at another time that God was going to send another Comforter, the Holy Ghost, that would be with us, that would comfort us. Jesus couldn't be here with us physically anymore, but there was going to be that Comforter that would abide in our hearts. And He's still here with us. We still feel His presence in our life. He's still taking care of us. He's still watching out for us. He's still holding our hand. We know who holds our hand. We know who holds our hand. We know that He's going with us. We know that we have Him abiding with us. Because we know who holds our hand. He's with us. He's going to take care of us. Yeah, it's normal. It's natural to have concern about how you're going to put the next meal on the table. It's natural to have concern about how you're going to pay that bill when it comes due. But we don't have to worry ourselves sick about it, because God's holding our hand.
our Heavenly Father's taking care of us. He will take care of us. We may go through some tough times, but God's with us. We've got examples in the Word of God that He gave of people who went through some tough times. And most of us will never have to go through the tough times like some of those people. We will probably, hopefully, never have to go through some of the tough times that the disciples went through, particularly the apostles. Hopefully none of us will ever have to be crucified. Hopefully none of us will ever be fed to the lions. But you know what? Those that were, they stood there, probably physically in agony in some cases, stood there and continued to praise and worship God till their last breath departed from them and their spirit ascended to God. You say, why would God let some of His people go through such agony? I don't know. But I also know that it may be possible, because you know, we really don't know exactly how some of these things played out because we weren't there. But I know one thing, God had it within His power to take some of that away from them too. It's within the realm of possibility that God, as they begin to burn at the stake, some of them, that God took away the pain. As they were being crucified, that God took away the pain. I don't know if He did or not, but it's within the realm of possibility. He could have done that. All I know is for sure is that God walks beside us, and He has said in His Word that He is going to take care of us and that He will be with us to the end. Now you say, well, the word end comes up there. He'll be with us to the end of this mortal life, and He'll be with us forever in the future, and that eternal life. Because there's not going to be an end there. So when He talks about the end, He's only talking about this mortal life that we're living now. He'll be with us to the end of that, and then we'll be welcomed into His presence for all eternity. Because He walks beside us. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Father, I thank You for Your blessings. Father, I thank You that You love us so much, that You care about us. Father, that You'll be with us no matter what we have to face or go through, that You'll be there for us. When all else fails and when friends turn their back on us, You'll still be there. Father, I'm thankful for that today. And Father, I pray if someone who listens to this message doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or maybe they've got something in their life that shouldn't be there and it's time that they deal with it, Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts concerning those matters. And Father, they would give their life to Jesus Christ. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.